dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Pond, and now evidently Texas has been given what they want, and we'll figure that out. And, Daddy, it's just, it's crazy, but it looks like the Big 12 is going to stay together. But if they only have 10 teams under NCAA rules, they can't have a championship game. That means everybody gets to play everybody. So did Iowa State and Kansas State get what they really wanted?
I don't think it matters. It doesn't matter. They're in a major BCS conference. That's all they wanted.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Where are you? You don't sound right. I mean, you look good sitting right there, but you don't sound good.
Daddy's on the road today, Douglas. Daddy's on the road today.
Unbelievable. Well, remember, if you're heading north like I believe you are, make sure there is road to drive on.
Okay, I promise I will do that.
Now, I didn't mean to yell over what you were saying. Now, again, what do you think?
Well, you know what? It never became more apparent than last night. In hindsight, it's pretty clear. As long as Texas can make all the rules, they're fine with it. As long as you concede to everything. I'm telling you right now, all Iowa State, all Kansas State, even Kansas, and they brought their basketball program. Yeah, they brought something to the table. All they wanted to do is to go to the cool guy's birthday party. All they wanted was to be invited. They didn't care if you had to play the stupid games the cool guy wanted to play and by the rules the cool guy wanted to play. They just wanted to be invited. That's what they got. Texas now, 20 to 25 million, get their own network. They can make all the rules in their conference. There's not going to be even revenue sharing. So you got the Texas, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, probably going to get the majority of that. But the other guys are still invited. That's all they wanted. They just wanted not be on the outside looking in.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry that you had to use hindsight, Daddy, when I had foresight all along.
You know what? I think when push came to shove with the Pac-10, it finally hit Texas. And whether it was the president of Texas, whether it was Dodds, whether it was, you know, the people making the decisions going, wait a minute, if we get in this deal, we might not make all the rules. Well, they said, screw that. We got to make all the rules, but we don't want to play with these other guys. So now you go back to Beebe, who all of a sudden looks like a genius. You know what? I think people, you know what? Whether we're talking government, people need ultimatums.
He does not look like a genius because, as I said on the show yesterday, if he was a genius, they would have had this figured out a month ago, 6 months ago, a year ago. Not when you're waiting for your key holdout to come in week six of the season. No, I disagree with you there. This should have been taken care of a long time ago. And by a long time ago, every hour something's changing, so a long time ago was only a month ago. But if you could get it done today, you could get it done then.
There's no doubt about it. But once the ultimatum started, we need to start dropping ultimatums to BP in this oil deal. We need to start dropping government ultimatums all the time if things get done this quickly. Hell, we didn't have a TV contract. All of a sudden, within 3 days, we've got this huge TV contract that's guaranteeing Texas $20 to $25 million in their own network.
Now, again, where does it say that? That's the next step. That was the next place I wanted to go with this, Tony. Reportedly. I keep seeing that. Texas A&M, and Oklahoma would reportedly each receive at least $20 million annually from a new Big 12 television contract. Reportedly. $14 to $17 million for the other seven schools that are staying around, which would double what they currently have in TV revenue. Have we heard from any of the television corporations yet?
No, but I guess I don't know why we start going by reports now when we had seven different reports. We went by all of them for the last 3 weeks.
Well, reportedly, I still don't see this as a done deal. Now, if they're staying, they'll get it done, I would believe. But that leaves us to a spot, Tony, where some of the folks said, like Bob Davies said, when all the dust settles, it won't be as much of a train wreck as everybody thinks. And right now, the Pac-10, by accepting Colorado, has to go find one more school. Everybody thinks that's going to be Utah, and then everybody will have the even number of teams in their conference that they need. And the Big 12, after this settles down, will they try and get two more schools? I don't know. That would have to happen real, real quick. I don't know that the Big 12 wants a championship game anymore. Kind of amazing. Tom Osborne and Nebraska leave the conference, and now they don't care if they have a championship game.
Well, all of a sudden, when you've been getting bullied for the last 3 months by Delaney and Scott, why don't the Big Ten go after those two Arizona schools? There'd be your 12. Show Larry Scott who's in charge in this deal.
Well, that would be interesting. You think that has any basis, any chance of happening?
I don't know, but if you're Dan Beebe and you've been beating around like he has, I would think that you'd want to stand up and get this deal back to 12-team conference. And you know, you thought you had one of the two best conferences, I would think, next to the SEC. Forget the Big Ten. Yeah, they got the financial power to say that they're one of the best conferences. But, you know, when football drives everything, I think it's pretty apparent you've got the Big 12 and you've got the SEC. Those are the two real power conferences in football. You come back and start pushing some people around. You know what? You trusted those guys, you know, unbeknownst to you. They're doing all this stuff behind your back. You go shove them around a little bit now and try and go after a couple of their schools? Or do you maybe wait? I don't know. Everybody thinks Utah's going to be that next school to the Pac-10. Or do you maybe get a TCU and a Utah to finish out your deal, make you 12 teams again? I don't know what direction it'll go. But I find it interesting. Now the shoe's on the other foot as far as the Pac-10's concerned.
Well, Texas Athletic Director DeLoss Dodd saying this morning the school is happy with its decision to stay in the Big 12 Conference. Officials continue to discuss their decision to remain in the league despite the defections of Nebraska and Colorado. Texas and the other schools, of course, courted by the Pac-10, but Texas led the group yesterday in saying no. Dodd said today that it remains strong, the conference, and each season will have a shot at two BCS games, even without a football championship game. Yeah, they're going to have a shot at two BCS games if Texas is 12-0 and Oklahoma's 11-1 or vice versa. That's how they're going to have two shots at BCS. This is going to come down to the Red River rivalry every year now. That will be your championship game until somebody else can step up, and maybe there's going to be the little nagging brother or the little nagging sister nipping at your heels, and that'll be somebody different every year. All this money we're talking about, how much money is the Big 12 and these schools going to lose because they now don't have a championship game?
Well, and they're the schools that wanted it, Doug, and you made that point earlier. They were clearly the 11 schools that wanted the playoff vote. The one dissenting vote, of course, was Tom Osborne's. Everybody knows that. They're the ones that wanted it and had to have this championship game for the financial aspects. Now it's gone out the window for right now.
Here's a... Well, and Tony, I'm just reiterating what I said. There's no need predicting the future if you don't go back and look at what you talked about. And we talked about it on this show, and I told you, I said, you know what? Yeah, they're making this much more money. Everybody was saying, well, they'll make 10 to 12 more million every year, every year, every year. Well, this is another one of those incidentals that they're losing. So they're not going to be making as much money as they thought they were going to be making. And... I it'll be interesting once all of this finally settles to look back 5 years from now and see how much more each team is actually, and each school and each university is actually making when you look at the bottom line. Athletically, grant-wise, the improvement of their facilities, I think that's going to be interesting.
You know, another deal with the basketball situation, looks like they will be able to play a home and away of every team in the conference now, just like the Pac-10 does. So that'll be something different, and it should be great for the basketball conference in the Big 12.
And interesting you bring that up, because I don't think you've seen this. Missouri's governor, Jay Nixon, has weighed in. He says Big 12 will be a stronger basketball conference without Colorado and Nebraska. He called the departing universities, quote, the two weakest basketball programs, end quote, in the Big 12. Missouri governor says the remaining Big 12 schools could have a better shot of making the NCAA basketball tournament. He said poor win-loss records and weaker schedules by Nebraska and Colorado were dragging down the rankings of the other Big 12 schools. Quote, I think it makes the basketball league stronger, end quote. Remember, Nixon is the one that suggested Missouri should consider joining the Big Ten because it had stronger academics than some Big 12 schools. But unfortunately, Governor Nixon, that invitation did not come. And you know what? You're going to miss Missouri taking four from Nebraska and Colorado every year. But remember, we'll thump you in the women's hoops. That's what we're talking about, brother.
Well, Governor, I'd just like to say if we got rid of you, Iowa State, and Baylor, we would have been a stronger football conference, too.
Oh, man. You know, Is there any truth to the rumor that Governor Nixon taught the booger picking class that Chase Daniels attended? I don't remember. I don't remember. Let's go to the Debt Popper inbox here. Irish Ken fires in. Looks like Adolf Hitler has been reincarnated and is secretly running the University of Texas. In addition to granting Texas their own television network for agreeing to stay in the Big 12, my spies have learned that there is at least one unpublicized concession the other Big 12 teams have made to Texas. All football teams will play Texas, have agreed to wear a bra and panties under their uniforms instead of a jockstrap. I have also learned that Texas plans to demand at next year's Big 12 conference meeting that when the Eyes of Texas is played, all schools and the sporting events, the fans from the opposing team will be required to stand and say, Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil! Sure feels good to be an Irish and Husker fan. Irish can. I'm not even going to wad that one up for a while. That's kind of good, Irish. Every once in a while, Irish Ken is okay.
Oh, you know what? Once again, as long as they're going to make all the rules, Texas is just fine leading that South group. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with Oklahoma sticking by Texas because, in the Big Eight, you said it, it's going to come down to one game. And you know what used to be Nebraska, Oklahoma in the Big Eight? It always came down to that one game. Well, Oklahoma saw that. Oklahoma knows it's going to come down to one game now. Oklahoma, Texas.
Let's stay in the Dent Popper inbox here. It's true Oklahoma is even more spineless by letting Texas dictate what happens to them. You know, it's been pretty quiet, and I think tomorrow on the program, when we're back here both in studio, we'll get an Oklahoma perspective on this, Daddy. I know our buddy James Hale would love to weigh in on this. And so whether it's James or whether it's another one of our friends from Oklahoma, I know you're going to be efforting on getting, as you said earlier in the week, an Oklahoma perspective. Because really, they have been very quiet during this whole process.
Yes, they have. Also, Doug, on tomorrow's program, I believe TCU baseball coach Coach Schlossennagel set to join us as well. And of course, they knocked Texas out of the deal, so I think they will be Omaha's darling in all this, you know, when it comes College World Series time.
And they are the first game up on Saturday. The pairings have been announced. A couple of different games in the Super Regionals yesterday. It looked like they were both going to be blowouts, and then all of a sudden, some of that sweat was starting to shift there down the thigh of the Clemson baseball team in the bottom of the ninth. They were up 8-1. Alabama had done nothing. And then you plunk a guy, you walk a guy, you give up a couple of bleeders through the infield, and all of a sudden, Alabama scores five runs with two outs in the ninth. They've got runners on second and third, which are the tying run at second, and a kid that had hit home runs in the first two Super Regional games takes a mighty cut and lifts it to left field, not deep, not shallow, just to left field, and didn't quite get all of it, and Clemson holds on for the 8-6 victory. And then our buddy from Virginia, Coach O'Connor, wow, he still has to wonder what went wrong last night as Oklahoma just pounded Virginia 11-0.
Yeah, the bats were going early, and you know what? That's without Cameron Seitzer hitting the ball. I believe his first hit of the Super Regional was a bomb he hit in about the third inning last night. So, you know, if the bats continue to go like that and you get Seitzer at the plate, Oklahoma can make some noise this upcoming week.
Again, here's your pairings, and every game of the College World Series will be right here on ESPN Radio. Normal start times on Saturday and Sunday at 1 o'clock. TCU will take on Florida State, and then at 6 o'clock, Florida will take on UCLA. Coming up on Sunday, South Carolina will battle Oklahoma and Clemson. That's at 1, and then Clemson against number 1 Arizona State at 6 o'clock, and we'll talk more about that as the week progresses. Don't forget, coming up on Thursday, we will be in Hastings at the Sertoma 8-Man All-Star Football Camp, talking to the coaches and some of the players as time allows on Thursday. Friday, we're in Hastings again at Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill. They're getting ready for a big weekend over there, and we'll be live at Bullseye's from 11 to 1 to kind of wrap up what's going to be a busy week. Changes in the College World Series this year, Tony, and you know this is directly impacted. This, the reason there are changes after the first weekend is because of the World Cup and the games being on the ESPN network. Now, the game's on Saturday and the first game Sunday on ESPN, then basically everything after that until the championships is on ESPN2. Starting Monday, when you get into the second round games, games will be at 3:30 and 8 o'clock. 3:30 and 8 o'clock. Now, remember, they always played at 1 and 6. 5 hours seem like a lot of times. How to be a lot of time between games? How many times any extra inning game, and how many times did that 6 o'clock game start late. Now they're only allowing 4.5 hours between those games on Monday and Tuesday, and then if they have to play again later in the week next Friday, 4.5 hours. You could be looking at a College World Series game starting somewhere between 8:30 and 9 o'clock starting in Omaha. Don't like it, but I guess there's nothing they can do about it if they're going to sell out to the World Cup, which I'm not saying is wrong, but wow. There's going to be some late-night games, and I don't know if that's better for the area businesses or not.
Well, I thought it will certainly be better for some of those area businesses, but I wonder how many of those horns are going to show up at the College World Series.
I don't think they allow those. Those are the NCAA. The NCAA does not allow things like that. I'm hearing yesterday from our friends in Omaha, Daddy, that, and I can't, but maybe it's because of these late start times as the week progresses, but they're actually building fences around Rosenblatt, very controlling the way folks come in and where they park and how they can tailgate. And folks used to be able to leave their tents set up, you know, for a couple of days and be back and have them the next day. Apparently, this is all going up in the air. So can you imagine if people really can't tailgate where they're used to? And
yeah,
these late start games, oh boy. It'll be interesting to see the attendance of the Omaha fan for the 8 o'clock games and how drunk they are.
Well, you know what? It's always been a deal where as long as you were, people were maintaining and having a good time, they kind of left you alone. Well, you know what? The last year at Rosenblatt, I would think they'd let you do the same.
Well, I can't believe after all these years that they're going to this extreme. I don't know. Maybe they're getting a practice on and getting you ready for what's going to happen when you're going to have no fun when they go to the new stadium.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, the NCAA wants to probably flex their muscles, show how in control they are, because they will control the whole thing from here on out.
And, Daddy, a great day yesterday for all the 270-ish golfers that competed in the Blue Gold. They raised a ton of money. We're going to talk more about that during our Loper Link segment tomorrow. But astronomical numbers, 6 people out there on a scramble, and they're shooting 20 under at Meadowlark and 18 under, and over at the Country Club, 16 and 15 under to win it. And, you know, I was going to read off some of the winners' names, but, you know, quite frankly, you know, I knew you didn't like some of those people.
Well, steroids. It's the HGH is more in effect ever than this year before. I saw those 20 unders. That is amazing to go under par like that. So congratulations to everyone that competed. Another great day for UNK Athletics, the biggest fundraiser of the year.
There was a hole-in-one yesterday at Meadowlark Hills on number 17. There was our buddy Dave, the former commissioner, took home the big screen TV from Russell's Appliance. He was the big grand prize winner yesterday. I'm trying to figure out how to get that out of the back of his truck.
Who hit the hole-in-one?
You know, I don't think I was ever provided that information, Daddy. I apologize for that.
Oh.
I apologize. Maybe one of our listeners knows and will shoot us an email. Like delusional Husker fan, before we let you get back to the day, because coming up on the show, Bob Condota of Seattle Times is going to join us, and then we are going to have David Jones in the second half from the Harrisburg Patriot out there covering Penn State in the Big Ten and what their thoughts are in Nebraska. But delusional Husker fan says, seems to me like the new Big 12 is looking a lot more like the old Southwest Conference, and I think we all know how that turned out. What I haven't figured out is, why isn't the conference named the all-knowing and superior Texas Conference? Has Oklahoma ever said anything about a move, or does Texas have their hand up OU's bad word like a puppet? Backside would be the word.
Well.
Thanks, delusional.
Well, you know what? We'll effort Oklahoma and get their point of view on why they were so quiet through this whole process. Should be interesting to find that out.
All right, Daddy, we going to talk to you later?
I doubt it. That will not happen today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, folks, so the next 40 minutes, solid Doug and Daddy show, minus the daddy. I mean, it's what you ask for. It's what you yell for. It's what you clamor for. Don't drive into flooded roads, okay, Daddy?
Promise. Have a great day.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Bob Condota of the Seattle Times will join Daddy and I here on ESPN Radio.
Father's Day is here, so give Dad the new personalized video gift card from the Home Depot. There's nothing like it. This one lets you make a video for Dad to watch online and in 3D if he's got a webcam. Plus, new lower prices means Dad can stretch your dollars further on what he really wants. So this Father's Day, give Dad a personalized video gift card. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. stores only.
You know the toughest part of your engine to keep clean? Your pistons. And keeping them clean is crucial for responsiveness, performance, even fuel economy. So now's the time to switch from conventional oil to Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic Motor Oil. Pennzoil Platinum keeps pistons up to 40% cleaner than the toughest industry standard, so you can feel the clean every time you drive. Find out more at Pennzoil.com. Based on ILSAC GF5 and Sequence 3G piston deposit test using SAE 5W30.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Don't miss out on Landale Phelan's Green and Yellow Summer Expo Customer Appreciation Event, Saturday, June 19th from 10 to 2. Landale Phelan would like to say thank you to you for being their customer. So head out to the Wood River Country Club, enjoy lunch, and check out all the great deals just in time for Father's Day. Lawn and garden equipment, compact utility tractors, hand and power tools, generators, and power washers. Come and join Landale Phelan Customer Appreciation and Fun this Saturday from 10 to 2 at the Wood River Country Club, located on West Halling Road.
Kobe Bryant, deep three. Get at me, son.
Nebraska may not have an NBA team, but one thing we can appreciate is tradition and championship.
Hard foul by Artest, and Rondo pushes Artest.
Tuesday night, two of the most storied NBA teams will match up to see if the latest crown goes to Boston.
No question, he put this team on his shoulder from the onset.
Or extends to a showdown in Game 7.
Paul Pierce just went ridiculous.
The NBA Championship Series on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Super. Superstation 1460 and 1550.
We'll see partly cloudy skies develop across the area today with high temperatures up around 81. South winds will also develop at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight there's a nice sort of chance for a storm late with a low of 64. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 64.
This is the way I live. Little boy still pushing big bills. I stack my money, lay low and chill. Don't need to work hard, that's the way I feel.
Back on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Finally, maybe we're going to dry out a little bit, and that makes even better for the golfers out there. And Jersey Sports Bar and Grill wants to remind you that their fifth annual four-person scramble is this Friday at Metal Arc Hills in Kearney. It's a 1 o'clock shotgun start. Get your cart, your green fees, and drink tickets for one low price. And how about this, people? A 10% discount on the bar tab at Jersey's that night. Who doesn't want it? All participants are entered into a drawing to win a trip for two for 3 days and two nights to their choice of one of 20 locations. 20 different places. Sometimes they just throw up a Vegas trip or a Husker trip or a Chicago trip. This is one of 20 locations the winner picks. Cash payouts and great flag prizes. Sign-up sheet is at Jersey's Bar and Grill. They're filling up fast, so stop by and enter your team today for the fifth annual four-person scramble brought to you by Jersey's at Metal Arc Hills. It's this Friday, June the 18th at 1 o'clock. For more information, stop by and see the gang today at Jersey's. And speaking of Metal Arc Hills, don't forget that their great Father's Day tournament is coming up. Well, when else? Sunday, Father's Day. And a shotgun start there at 8:30 in the morning. Format's pretty simple. Father and either the son or daughter, they give you the golf, the cart, the range balls, the flags, lunch, season pass, and punch cards are honored for the Father's Day golf tournament at Metal Arc Hills. So Jersey's golf tournament on Friday, and then Dad and the kids can go out for the Father's Day golf tournament on Sunday. For more information on the great Metal Arc Hills Father's Day golf tournament, they take care of them so well up there. 233-3265, 233-3265. Back on the Doug and Daddy Show, as it's just football talk, football talk. Not only the All-Star Games going on this week here in the state, but still settling in to find out what's going on in just about every conference.
Well, there's certainly conflicting reports out there, Doug. Texas, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State will go to the Pac-10. Oh, wait, no, they won't. They're going to stay and make the Big 12 work. What's going on from a Pac-10 perspective? That's why we go to the Seattle Times and talk to Bob Condotta today. Bob, welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks so much for the time. And where do you stand on this whole issue?
Well, I mean, it seems like all the tea leaves right now are pointing to the Big 12 staying together, and Texas and Oklahoma and all of them staying put. And for the Pac-10, that likely means they just become a 12-team conference and add Colorado and almost likely Utah as the other school then to even it out at 12. So that's that. You know, right now, if I had to bet, that's what I'd bet on. And 5 minutes from now, that could all change. But, you know, right now, that seems to be where things are headed.
Bob, is that going to sit okay with the Pac-10? I mean, they accepted Colorado, and I think it's – I mean, at the time, it sounded like they were pretty certain they were going to get the other five schools that they wanted. Now is their hand in the cookie jar, and they don't want it there?
Well, I mean, they don't have a choice now. I mean, they've invited Colorado, so they're going to be in. And, you know, so I mean, I think some of this was strategic. I think when they went after Colorado, part of it was they were going to do their part to try to break apart the Big 12 to try to get those other schools to come. So I think it was a little bit of a gamble maybe, but – I think they also had penciled it out that I think they think there'll be financial advantages overall to having both Colorado and Utah in. And, I mean, all of this is about money for everybody. So, I mean, you know, nobody should delude themselves that any of this is about, you know, improving the athletic experience for anybody or for the fans or anything like that. So, you know, they get the Salt Lake market. They get the Denver market when they go to negotiate their TV deals next year. I think they think there'll be some advantages to that that'll pay off for everybody, and it'll be better than having just stuck at 10. So, I mean, that's what it's all about. And so, you know, I think if that's the worst they do, and I think that's kind of what they viewed this as, was that the worst they were going to do was get Colorado and Utah into the league. You know, so I think they still think that'll be a win for them.
Bob, my next question was, what does Colorado bring to the league? Other than the 16th rated TV market, Not much as we see it, but they do get that market, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. I mean, they get that market, and, you know, again, I mean, who knows if how well that newly constituted Big 12, if it does stay together, how well it'll go. So, I mean, I think if nothing else, maybe it also sets the table for, you know, you kind of stay in the hunt to get all that done down the road. If all that breaks apart at some point, you know, even if they keep it together now, who knows 5 years from now. So there's some things that way. But, yeah, I mean, again, all of this is about maximizing your TV revenue. And so I think they decided ultimately there was advantages, even if you couldn't get all those schools, to even just getting a couple of them.
Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times joins us here on ESPN's Doug and Daddy Show. Well, I guess we've always looked at it from the Big 12 perception about Texas traveling to Washington or Washington State or Oregon State. Has there been any, and if they don't go, I guess that's a whole different thing, but what is the feeling at the University of Washington and some of the Pacific Northwest schools about who they have coming into the league?
You mean just Colorado and Utah?
Well, yeah, or if they would, I mean, or if they would happen to still snare at Texas and all the travel and all, I mean, that's a whole different ball game. But, I mean, just actually from the...
Well, it wasn't going to be, I mean, especially for football. I mean, again, football drives all of this. So specifically for football, I mean, you were going to have, if they'd have gotten everybody, you were going to have two eight-team divisions. And for specifically Washington, you're just going to have the old Pac-8 that everybody kind of grew up with. You were going to have, you know, Washington State, Oregon State, Cal, Stanford, USC, UCLA. You were going to play each of those seven teams every year, just like they've been doing for 50 years now. And so as long as that was not going to break apart, everybody was fine with it. I mean, that was a real sticking point, was you wanted to keep all those rivalries together. And in that scenario, you were going to. And then what you were going to do was play a home-and-home with two teams from the other division each year. Some years, that was going to be just playing Arizona and Arizona State, which they've been doing the last 30 years anyway. So, you know, you were going to have a year, maybe you were going to go to Texas Tech or Oklahoma State or whatever, but I mean, it was just going to just be one game out of 12. So, you know, Washington's been playing schools like that for years anyway. I mean, they've got the home and home with Nebraska the next 2 years. They just finished a home and home with Oklahoma. They've played Colorado a bunch over the last 20 years or so. So it's really not that big a deal to, you know, go have one football game on the road against one of those schools.
How big was it for your commissioner, though, to add a named team like a Texas, like an Oklahoma, especially with what USC is going through right now?
Yeah, I mean, it might have helped. I mean, I don't think the financial value of USC is really going to be impacted that much. I mean, again, it's, you know, it's about TV markets. USC will still help, you know, with the LA market and all of that. I mean, financially, I don't know that what happens with USC is going to impact anything. But, again, no question. I mean, to maximize the TV dollars, if you brought in Texas and Oklahoma, and they were the two big ones, and basically you were going to bring along everybody else to try to get specifically Texas but also Oklahoma, You know, that was going to be, it's going to be a huge shot. The general estimate was that it was going to be about $20 million a year annually to each school, whereas right now maybe they get 6 to 8 to 10 out of some of those deals. And then who knows how much more you might get down the road from, you know, getting more teams into the BCS, that sort of thing. So absolutely no question. Everybody was hoping from a financial standpoint that it was going to work out to get those schools.
Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. If USC continues to drop a little bit with their football program, who do you see as the next power in the Pac-10 then, Bob?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that anybody would be able to do what USC's done. I mean, they won 7 straight league titles, which is fairly unprecedented. It was completely unprecedented in the Pac-10, but just about anywhere, really. I mean, that's hard to do. I don't see anybody being able to do that. What I think it'll go back to kind of how the Pac-10 was in the 90s, where you kind of just have different teams rising each year. The team that really the pressure is going to be on them to take advantage of this is UCLA. They've really not been that great for about 10, 15 years now. You know, they had some nice runs in the 80s and at times in the 90s, but, they've really fallen a little bit while USC has been dominating. And they're the school that, you know, with USC having to be limited 10 scholarships each of the next three years, you know, basically USC just recruits Los Angeles for the most part. They get a few kids nationally, but, you know, their bread and butter is L.A., and so you would assume a lot of those kids now might go to UCLA, and I'm sure, you know, Washington and Oregon and schools like that hope to get a little bit of them as well, but I think the logical school to really benefit would be UCLA. So I don't see anybody suddenly going 11-1, 12-1 every year the way USC was, but I think it'll open the door for UCLA, Oregon. I know the hope up here is Washington will be positioned to take advantage of that and just kind of have some more schools win in the conference now.
Doug, it's been so long, and it'll be so refreshing to talk football again instead of realignment and what's people's thoughts on who's going where when all this settles down. Bob, for fans coming out to go to Seattle to go check out the Nebraska-Washington game, give us two or three things they've got to do while they're in Seattle.
If you've never gone to the top of the Space Needle, that's kind of a neat thing to do. There's, you know, take a ferry ride. If you get here early enough, you can just hop on one of the ferries and go to one of the islands across. That's kind of a neat thing. And I obviously will be checking out the game itself. I mean, just, maybe if you got some time to go up to, you know, you can go up to Mount Rainier and at least just kind of hike around the bottom reaches of it, if nothing else. That's pretty easy to do in a day before a game as well.
Well, Bob, we'll probably talk to you again the week of the game, but right now, what do you think about Washington's football team?
Well, it should be better than they've been, which isn't necessarily saying much. I mean, they haven't had a winning season since 2002, so it's been the longest dry spell that they've had really since the 60s or so when they kind of struggled a little bit. So, but they should be better, a pretty veteran team for the most part. I mean, a lot of returning starters, and obviously the highlight guy is Jake Locker, the quarterback, who Heisman Trophy candidate and all of that. And when he decided to come back in December, that really kind of created a lot of optimism about what this season could be, because they've got a lot of good players on offense. 1,000-yard rusher coming back, the second-team All-Pac-10 receiver, a pretty veteran offensive line. They're not going to be the greatest defensive team in the world, but they could be better despite losing a couple of pretty good players. Their only two NFL draft picks were each defensive guys last year. I think they'll be a little faster and more athletic, especially in the back end. So, the expectation is fully that they have a winning season and get back into a bowl game this year.
Bob, we appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and look forward to speaking with you again soon.
All right. Great. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Condotta, the Seattle Times, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And as he said, as we have talked about, looks like Utah is coming their way, and how maybe we can look forward to going out and playing Washington in football in the third week of the season. The big non-conference game for the Huskers over the next 2 years will be Washington. So that's the Pac-10 perspective. We're going to take a look at the Big Ten perspective with with the East Coast all the way out, the newest team and is no longer the newest team. Penn State used to be the newest team, the last team that ever entered the conference in the Pac or in the Big Ten. But David Jones of the Harrisburg Patriot will talk about maybe what Nebraska has to expect and what he thinks about maybe some alignment, and we'll catch up with him. Plus, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. The phone lines are open. The email is open for you, 888-455-3776, the number. And you can email us anytime, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. We're back after this.
Since OnStar began, we've unlocked over 4.4 million vehicles.
OnStar Emergency, this is Edward.
Yeah, I need to unlock my doors.
Oh, I'll be happy to help you out. All I need to do is verify your PIN number and we'll be on our way.
5808.
If you're locked out, an advisor can send a signal to unlock your doors.
Anybody trapped in the vehicle?
No. Just I'm on a first date, dude. If you could hurry up, I appreciate it.
Oh, your first date? Oh, wow.
Right? It's just with me and bowling. How perfect is that?
Well, these things happen, that's for sure. And do you have a number I can reach on in case we get disconnected? I guess your cell phone's in the truck as well, isn't it?
There you go.
Okay. Well, your troubles are over. Do you see the doors unlocked there?
Yes. You're my hero. Thank
sure.
you.
You're welcome.
OnStar is standard for up to 1 year on 35 Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Cadillac models. Visit OnStar.com for service length, details, and system limitations.
Farmers and ranchers, your days are getting longer and tougher, but Kearney Yamaha will ease your workload with a new Yamaha Grizzly 700. Featuring fuel injection, a fully automatic transmission, independent rear suspension, and four-wheel disc brakes, the Grizzly 700 will make irrigating and moving cattle much easier.
This is Terry Lobig from Kearney Yamaha. We can save you over $1,000 on a new Yamaha Grizzly 700, so hurry in to Kearney Yamaha today.
ATVs are recommended only for use by those 16 years and older. Yamaha recommends an approved training course. ATVs can be hazardous to operate.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Mines on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified bill paying. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by your local Farm Bureau agents, Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney today at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see partly cloudy skies develop across the area today with high temperatures up around 81. South winds will also develop at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, there's an isolated chance for a storm late with a low of 64. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 64.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Coming up on the program, we'll be talking a little Penn State with David Jones of the Harrisburg Patriots. So he's going to join us here in just a moment. But as always, our Bull or No Bull brought to you by Ace Hardware and Garden Center. Take a look at their Time Cutter Z4200 Zero Turn Mower at Ace. It'll cut your mowing time in half with an easy-to-maneuver zero-turn rider because summer's too short to spend it cutting grass. Take advantage of their low monthly financing as well, and that is at Ace Hardware and Garden Center in Kearney and Grand Island. I was talking about it, Daddy, earlier in the show. The governor has weighed in from Missouri saying that the Big 12 will now be a better conference in basketball without Colorado and Nebraska. Government officials should be quiet when it comes to things like this. Bull or no bull, the Texas representatives were getting in on what they wanted to do, and I guess they should have some say because these are supposed to be state-run institutions, yet they have hired their bosses. And I guess who is their boss? I mean, it's not just one representative. your thoughts. You can email us, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. But right now, it's time to welcome in David Jones from the Harrisburg Patriot. Now, this is one of the things that's going to be interesting, Daddy, is that you take a look at Penn State, and even though we have played a home-and-home series since this debacle, obviously folks are only going to remember one thing about Penn State, and I guess it's just time to mend fences. You think we're going to be able to do that?
Well, if they keep that field the regular shape, we'd really appreciate the next time Nebraska goes there. But nonetheless, David Jones from the Harrisburg Patriot joins us to get the Penn State point of view. Is Nebraska welcome in the Big Ten Conference? So we'll get his thoughts right now. David, welcome.
It depends on who you talk to, man.
Well, what's Penn State thinking? What are you thinking as this all kind of started to put itself together?
I think it's an awesome choice, actually. I don't know that anything else any other school they would have invited really would have been a natural fit for the fans. For the fans, and you know this has not been done for the fans. It's been done for increasing cable rights fees and increasing the footprint outside of the current area. You know, Nebraska gets great TV ratings on individual games, which isn't actually the paradigm they were working from. They get threes and fours routinely on games, as you guys know. I think they had an average of a 3.57 rating in 9 national games last year, which is huge. That's a big number. While, say, Rutgers and some other schools are more, that they're considering are more around 1 or 2. But the thing is, for the fans, this is a great choice. I mean, I know all Penn State fans love playing Nebraska. Actually, when the people who went out there, and when we all went out there in 2003, you couldn't have nicer fans. You couldn't have nicer people, which when you hang around the East, especially where we're going, in Jersey, is not the most natural thing to encounter. So I think everyone's very excited and very happy that it's a great choice. It's a good choice for the fans.
David, take us back to 1993 when Penn State joined this conference. Was there one or two obstacles maybe they didn't expect right away?
Well, it took forever, for one thing. I went to school at Ohio State myself. I'm an Ohio State graduate, and I had just come in from Columbus to take my job in Harrisburg at the time, and then the announcement of the invitation in December of 89 came a few months after I arrived, 4 months later, and it was a big secret. Not even the athletic directors knew about it. The presidents, led by Stan Eikenberry, who used to be a vice president at Penn State, just kind of made it happen. They thought they had to get it on the fast track and be secretive to get it over the top, and they were right, because the athletic directors and the coaches just went berserk. Especially, I did a big series on it 5 years later, A Giant Story, and I interviewed Bo Schembechler at the time, who was the athletic director. It was his first year as athletic director when it happened, and even he wasn't told. And he told me a hilarious story of being out on the practice field with Gary Moeller. And Delaney, it was Delaney's first year, and Delaney calls a conference call, and he said there was a giant silence when Delaney said, "Gentlemen, Penn State has been invited to the Big Ten." And it's with all the athletic directors. And Bo said there was a silence for about 5 minutes, and finally he broke it and said, "Are you bleeping me?" I'm bleeping out the word he used. And which kind of set the tone for Penn State's invitation. They weren't actually in the league for 3.5 years after that. Their first season in football was 93, and that was December of 89. And the first 6 months, there was quite a bit of doubt whether they'd get in. All of a sudden, they started calling it an invitation but not a confirmation, because the coaches and athletic directors were just going nuts. Why weren't we asked? Why weren't we told anything about this? How are we going to fit them in? How are we going to do scheduling? They really didn't, a lot of them didn't want any part of it. Some were involved, some weren't. And it was a big ordeal. 6 months later, they finally voted. And although at the time they called it unanimous, it was by no means unanimous. And when I talked to Stan Eikenberry, who ended up being the Illinois president 5 years later, he admitted it to me. The vote was actually 7-3, Indiana, Michigan, and Minnesota voted no, and they needed seven votes. Until the very end, Bruce Curry of Northwestern was on the fence. And if they don't get his vote, Penn State's in the ACC right now, not in the Big Ten.
Well, David,
so, yeah, a lot of hurdles.
Well, to follow that up, are you surprised that the Nebraska deal will move relatively quickly then?
Well, I think they learned. I think they learned to keep it an open process, and they learned a good lesson by that. And I am not surprised because I think it's a win-win-win across the board. Nebraska's got all these academic All-Americans. They fit that profile. They're an AAU member in good standing. They fit that profile. Big land-grant school. They certainly add some TV ratings, even if they don't add cable footprint to speak of, because your Omaha is only like the 76th market, I believe, in DMA, designated market area. But for the fans, it's awesome, and I think all of the real football people and not the TV people understand that. So I very much believe this was a unanimous vote. They're not just telling stories; it really was true.
David Jones of the Harrisburg Patriot is joining us here on ESPN's Doug and Daddy Show. David, when Texas's name was thrown out and then Missouri's name was thrown out, what was the feeling at Penn State and maybe some of the other Big Ten schools that you heard about?
I don't think Texas has ever been a legitimate candidate for the Big Ten. My sister happens to live down in Dallas. My niece graduated from UT in Texas. And although I heard from a buddy of mine down there who works for the Dallas Morning News 5 years ago that the Big Ten was interested in Texas, and I wrote it, I found out from some friends of my sister who runs in circles of a few power brokers, even though she isn't one, that the Texas legislature would never, ever, ever let that happen going north. I think they're considering the Pac-10 simply because they can play essentially. All they're doing is playing in the old Southwest Conference minus Arkansas and plus two Arizona schools. That's where they're going to play most of their games in all sports. And they'll play just a couple against the old Pac-A schools a year. That's quite a bit different than going north constantly and playing in a climate and in a recruiting grounds that really does nothing for them. And let's face it. The population of the U.S. is moving south, and that's where the recruiting is best. Now they can recruit all of California. You know, it's not like recruiting Illinois and Indiana. It's a little bit different.
So, David, now the question that needs to be asked, is this going to be it for the expansion right now, or do you think there's going to be two to four more teams coming in?
I could see two, not four, and not soon. The Big Ten is deliberate to a fault in everything they do. They hem and haw and take meetings and dither around, and that's the way they are. They wouldn't have invited Nebraska in this quickly if they weren't forced into it. They're huge meeting takers. You know, if it was the Fox guys who own a 49% of Big Ten Network who were making this call, you know, we'd have 26 teams in the Big Ten. You know, the more the merrier. Yeah, the presidents also have to consider that each addition really has to pull its weight here. They have to be worth more than just 1/13 now to increase the share of everyone's money, because you divide it down the middle. I'm sure they want to get Notre Dame, but if they can't get Notre Dame now, they got to keep a seat warm for Notre Dame, and that's why they couldn't go. I don't think they can possibly go more than 14 in the next year, because they want to keep a seat warm for Notre Dame and keep that open. They don't want to go to 16. I don't think there's any way in hell it's ever going to go to 16 in the next year, or unless they get Notre Dame. If they get Notre Dame, they won't go to 16 either. They'll only go to 16 if they have to get Notre Dame at 15 and 16, and then they could add someone in. I'm sure they're going to consider Rutgers because of the cable market there, but then you've got to deal with the mobsters from Cablevision who are notoriously hard bargainers. They've taken on YES and the Yankees, and have taken YES, the Yankees Entertainment and Sports Network, off the air in bargaining with them. They're afraid of nobody, and that's going to be a very tough nut to crack for the Big Ten Network, and Mark Silverman knows that. And they might not get the same price that they got from Comcast and Time Warner in the East and Midwest, respectively. So we'll see what happens.
David Jones joins us for just another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show. David, everybody wants to know about alignment. Is it east and west for sure? Is there talk about north and south? What do you hear at Penn State about that?
I don't know. I don't have any idea. I just know that it makes a lot more sense to make it east and west. It works perfectly. I mean, because they added a western school, everything works out along an axis between Illinois and the Illinois-Indiana border. You can make it 2-16 divisions and not bust up any of the traditional rivalries at all. It works beautifully. You got Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Northwestern in the west. You got Indiana, Purdue, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, and Ohio State in the east. And all the traditional rivalries hold. So you can play within your division 5 games and play half the other division on a biennial basis. And everything works out beautifully. You got 8 games, 8 conference games, and then leave 4 for out of conference, and everything works nicely. It makes sense to me. And I think Nebraska evens out the power balance in the West. You've got 3 power football schools there in Iowa, Wisconsin, and Nebraska. And if you really look at things, Iowa and Wisconsin have been every bit as formidable the last 10-15 years as Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan. So with Nebraska, it really evens out beautifully.
David Jones from the Harrisburg Patriot. I'll let you get out of here on this one, David. Does anybody at Penn State or the Big Ten care about any of the other sports? Because obviously Penn State, Nebraska volleyball has to vault right up there to a great matchup twice a year now. Does anybody even care about that?
Yeah, there's a certain community that cares about that. They care more about that than they do about men's basketball, that's for sure.
Thank God. Thank God we're in the same boat there.
That even stings out, too. All right, guys.
Hey, David,
Take
thanks
it
so
easy.
Much.
Glad to have you.
Take care, buddy.
David Jones, Harrisburg Patriot. He's on the move as well, just like the rest of us, trying to keep an eye and an ear on what's going on. And we thank him for joining us here this morning to give us the Penn State perspective. Now the Texas president has weighed in. Officials are committed, quote, long-term. Texas President William Powers Jr. said this morning that Texas led the way in keeping the founding league together, the floundering league, excuse me, together, as the Big Ten and Pac-10 courted several of their schools. Powers says there were no new guarantees of big-money television revenue, but a key point for Texas staying put was keeping its media rights. That keeps Texas on course for possibly launching its own network. That's right. Texas has done it again. And when we come back, we're going to do it again. A Troutman's $25 gift card is coming your way, so stay here. More to come on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, Greeny, we should go fishing sometime.
Go like you and the outdoors, what's not to like?
Oh, forgot. You're allergic to nature.
And to you.
Well, Greeny, the Bass Pro Shop's Ultimate Outdoor Giveaway has a prize package even you would like.
That's right. Visit ESPNradio.com and see how you could win the Bass Pro Fishing Package valued at over $3,500.
It includes rods, reels, and loads of Bass Pro and Under Armour gear, plus Greeny's favorite, the Kevin Van Dam Sexy Shad Kit.
Visit ESPNradio.com or your local Bass Pro Shops today.
Got a Subway footlong meatball marinara here. Cheesy, saucy, hot out of the oven. Do I hear $5? $5, $5, sold for just $5.
$1,000.
Where have you been? Now a zesterific spicy Italian. How much for all this flavor? What about $5, $5? It's gone, only
$5. $3,500. I need that.
Subway $5 footlongs taste like a fortune, but they're still just $5. So many made-to-your-order favorites, one low price. All day, every day. Subway. Eat fresh.
Plus applicable tax prices and participation may vary. Not valid in Alaska and Hawaii. Excludes double stacked and premium subs.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving, heading up the Mead team. Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
The Courtyard
Yard at Cunningham's is now open, and there's a lot of reasons to come out, like enjoying great food off the grill. Their bacon-wrapped shrimp, amazing. Or how about their outstanding prime rib? Also in the courtyard, there's live music Tuesday through Saturday with local and regional acts. Happy hour from 3 to 6, and don't forget Cunningham's also has the coldest beer in town. The courtyard, the perfect place to get away from it all. It's like being on vacation at a place you love to go time and time again. The courtyard at Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
John Callahan of Huskers Illustrated. Quarterbacks Taylor Martinez and Cody Green giving you a different dimension to their offense.
Steve Sippel, the beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star.
He gives you that dimension of speed that I don't think you can keep him off the field.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents weekly Big Red Lunches. Wednesdays beginning September 1st. Brought to you by Complete Nutrition, Home Federal Savings Bank, and Midas.
We'll see partly cloudy skies develop across the area today with high temperatures up around 81. South winds will also develop at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, there's an isolated chance for a storm late with a low of 64. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 64.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Well, there we've got the Sports Center on in the background, and they are going through the top plays of the Big 12. Must just be football, because that's all they showed, at least from 7 on. I didn't catch the first couple. But if you didn't see it quickly in your mind, what do you think the biggest football play in Big 12 history was? Matt Davison's catch was number 3. The catch was number 3. Winning the national title for Nebraska and Oklahoma, that was co-number 2. The dink play, James Brown, in that first championship game where Texas upset Nebraska, that was like number 6. Ricky Williams was in there. But I think they got it right. Vince Young in Texas defeating Southern Cal in the national championship in his run with less than 30 seconds left to secure it. That was the SportsCenter's number one play. If you want to make a number one play on the diamond, the place to be is Misco Sports on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center. They've got all the gear you need from the top name brands like Easton, Louisville, Mizuno, and Wilson. Adidas and Nike cleats are there for you as well. They've got bats for the little leaguer, the t-baller, or the big men's slow pitch softball player. You can talk to Steve and the gang there, and they can get you set up. Maybe you need special uniforms for a traveling team or a late summer softball team. Men's, women's, whatever it is, they've got the gear for you. Misco Sports also has shorts, running shoes to keep you in shape and make you look good. Hey, if you're going to be out there running and you know it doesn't look pretty to the guy driving by, at least you can wear something cool, a little bright hat, bright shirt. Be styling. Misco Sports, open 7 days a week on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. It's time for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Call now at 888-455-3776, 888-455-3776. We're going to take you on the air today as we've got a couple of different trivia questions to bring to you. I don't know if they're easy or if they're hard or if you're going to know them, but we're going to rapid fire. If you don't know the answer, we're going to move on. And so be ready to call. If you haven't won in the last 2 months, you are eligible at 888-455-3776. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Bill and Carney.
Bill, how you doing today?
I'm doing great.
All right. Now, this, we're going to go College World Series, and I'm going to give you a Nebraska question. What is Nebraska's all-time record in the College World Series?
0-1.
Incorrect. Thanks, Bill. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
This is Tim.
Tim, this team has made the most appearances in College World Series history.
I have to say Cal State Fullerton.
Incorrect. Thanks for trying. Cal State Fullerton would be seventh on the list. Seventh on the list. Let's stay with the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Don.
Don, how you doing today?
Good.
This school has won the most College World Series national championships.
Texas.
Incorrect, but good guess, Don. Thanks. Texas is actually tied for second. Texas is tied for second. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-ESPN. Who are we chatting with?
Mark in Minden.
Mark, what do you know?
Not much. I won't waste your time.
You know any of these?
I've got some educated guesses.
Good. I'm going to give you a different one then. This team appeared in the College World Series 7 consecutive years, which is a record. Which team is it?
Creighton?
No, not Creighton. Thanks, Mark. Have a good one, buddy. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-ESPN. That's 3776 if you need to spell that out on your portable phone, your cell phone there. Who are we chatting with this time?
Eric.
Eric, this school has won the most College World Series national championships.
Southern Cal.
That is correct, with a total of 12, but only one since 1978. They won 10 of those titles between 58 and 78 with the great coach, Rod Doudou. Hang on the line. We got a $25 gift card coming your way from Troutman's Quality Meats. It's going to be perfect for grilling this week, so enjoy it. Thanks for the call. Let's answer some of those, and Merritt will take care of our winner there and get him hooked up so we know that he's going to be a big winner. The most College World Series appearances, Texas with 33. Southern Cal only has 21, but they've won it 12 of the 21 times that they went. And again, the format was different, except when they won it in 98. There were fewer teams, and you had to win fewer games, and that's why they haven't even won the most games. Texas has won the most games in College World Series history. Texas has also made the most appearances in College World Series history with 33, Miami with 23. Southern Cal has won the most with 12. Texas and LSU have each won 6 national championships. LSU was the last national champ. Nebraska, all-time in the College World Series, 1-6. 1-6. They started 0-4, and they did win one game the third time that they made it in. And the team that has made the most consecutive appearances from 1981 to 1987, this was probably the toughest one. Oklahoma State made it 7 consecutive years from 81 to 87. I remember that was the during that run, one of the years they played Arizona State. The first inning took an hour. It was like 6-4 or 6-5. That was before they'd really built onto the outfield, and that's kind of the era that the College World Series really took off. And so I think those are all the trivia questions that that I asked. Merritt, you watch the College World Series? You a big college baseball fan?
Not a whole lot.
What are we going to do with you? We got to convert you. You're like Stace. She wasn't a big pro baseball fan. Sports fan, but not a big pro baseball fan. Kind of.
Yeah, I'm a whole lot of the major sports. Football is my life, and NBA was.
I could tell.
Up to that.
I could tell by the Miami Dolphins gear. In fact, unless you're wearing something that I don't want to know about, you're actually not wearing any pro sports gear today. That's
nope.
Like different.
I'm clean.
Your Paul Pierce jersey ready to go tonight?
Yeah.
What do you think? Game 6 tonight. Can the Celtics, we were talking, a lot of folks were talking about this yesterday, asking me, and we were talking about it. I think that it all depends on what the Celtics want to do. They keep being talked about as an old team. They have given their effort in Boston. They travel cross-country. They get one day of rest, so to speak, one day of rest. And then they're back and they play tonight. I think the Lakers could blow them out tonight if the Celtics decide that they want to rest and go for a Game 7, which is kind of hard to do. It's kind of hard to shadow that in the National Basketball Association, that you're pulling back the reins. Because if they give every ounce of effort tonight, they can't win a Game 7, I don't think. They have to decide, are they giving it all, putting it all on the line tonight, or are they going to go through a practice motion tonight and put it all on the line for a Game 7 on Thursday? What do you think, Mary?
I think all the guys that play with Kobe want to actually show that they're the Lakers and actually a team. So I think they're going to show up tonight and push the Game 7.
All right. I agree with you. I agree with you. I think the Lakers win big tonight. I think this will be the biggest margin of victory in the NBA Finals tonight, the Lakers over the Celtics. Whether it happens or not, you can hear it right here on ESPN Radio. Our coverage will begin at 7 o'clock. And game time tips off just shortly after 7:30. Game 6, the Lakers and the Celtics here on ESPN Radio. We want to thank our guest today, Bob Condotta from the Seattle Times, talking about what the Pac-10 is going to do now, and David Jones from the Harrisburg Patriot covering Penn State Nittany Lion Sports and talking about welcoming Nebraska into the Big Ten Conference. We're going to get an Oklahoma point of view tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're also going to be talking a little bit about the Shrine Bowl and the 8-Man All-Star Game coming up this week. We will be in Hastings at 8-Man Camp on Thursday and at Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill on Friday. Also tomorrow, our Loafer Link segment, a couple of things to talk about there as well. I want to thank you for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a great Tuesday, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow at 11. That's 23 hours from now, as Daddy says.
If you have...
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Tell me to do that again.
Game over.